the student voice of your DePaul Blue Demons. Degenerate moving through the city with criminal stealth. Welcome to enemy turf. Harder than immigrants work. Golf is distant in my shirt. Get up off the pavement, brush the dirt up off my psyche. Psyche.
Yo. What's the deal, y'all? Back to regularly scheduled programming, you feel me? Let me get this mic adjusted. What's good with y'all? Happy spring break. Happy whatever's going on in your life. What up, though, y'all? It's Chioke back in the stew today. We about to talk about a little bit of sports, you know? We're going to talk about a little bit of sports today. Nah, what's the deal, y'all? For real. I just got back from New York yesterday, actually. Or 2 days ago, something like that. It took me... Wait, what day is it? Friday? I got back on Wednesday, 2 days ago. It took me 2.5 hours to get home from the airport, y'all. And I could not have expected this. I got off my plane at 4 o'clock, or I got my bags at... I got off my plane at 3:45. I got my bags at 4 o'clock. I only had one bag to check, so... And then I get on the Orange Line. I come to downtown, and then I transfer at Staten Lake off the Orange Line, right, from Midway. And then I'm about to hop on the Red. And then I realize, like, I have bags. Like, I have my backpack. I have another carry-on. And then I had my suitcase, my small suitcase. So I was, like, on the train. It's literally 5 o'clock, like, rush hour on the train. It's literally going to be so hectic, like, so many heads. Every day when I get off work, like, if I don't get on that first train, sorry, I had to turn my phone on, do not disturb it. Every time I have to get on that first train right after work at Harrison, and that's super south, like South Loop, so I usually get a seat. But like, if you get on at another stop, like it's like shoulder to shoulder, you know, like obviously you guys know what I'm talking about, like rush hour, public transit, it's ridiculous. So I was like, let me hop on the bus, right? The bus, it'll literally take me to Foster and Broadway, like exactly where I need to go on the north side, right? Edgewater area. So let me turn my mic down a little bit. I feel like I'm yelling. Maybe not. But I hop on the bus, and I don't know what happened. We turn on to Michigan. I get on at Staten Lake, and we turn on to Michigan Ave, and we go north, right? Well, by the time we got to the bridge, like the bridge over the Chicago, over the river, we were stop and go. Like I cannot make this up. I was in that bus for 2 hours before we even got to, like, the first hour was between the bridge in the Chicago River to Michigan Ave when it goes onto Lakeshore, like that underpass onto Lakeshore. I was on the bus for 2.5 hours getting home from there. Like, I've never in my life experienced something like this. Literally, I was so upset. I was so glad that I actually had some food, like, to get when I got home, because I would have just been so pissed. Like, I have to go back outside to go eat or whatever. But whatever. It was a great week, great time in New York. So, honestly, I shouldn't even be upset. I should just say, well, there's two sides to every coin. as I usually do most of the time. You know, like most of the time you just don't think about the negatives. I mean, most of the time you don't think about the positives and the negatives outweigh them. But honestly, I need to just understand that it was a great trip, and that was the culmination. It left a bad taste in my mouth, but it wasn't the entirety of the trip. In New York, I tried to, like, not call Ubers. I tried to, like, try to save my money. But I ended up calling a few, but they were stupid expensive. Like, I bought a week train pass for $30 so that I could just take the train and then only use Uber in, like, dire situations. New York subway is, like, it's really nice because there's a million of them and they go everywhere. But, like, they switch up sometimes where they'll go a different route. And so if you don't know those, like, if you don't take them every day, it can get kind of confusing. But it was fine. All is well that ends well. Went to a few museums, saw some old friends, saw some people I haven't seen in a really, 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 really long time. And then some other people that I saw more recently, but it was nice to see them again. Did some work, too. Some extracurriculars, did some, like, hard work. Going to be editing those clips in the coming weeks and things like that. So look forward to that coming out. But let's get into the sports talk, y'all. That's what we're here for. My bracket is in shambles, absolute shambles. It's not even funny anymore. Like, for the first 3 days, I think I had, like, a 96% perfect bracket or whatever. I mean, probably a lot of people could say that, but I was just so hyped over those first 3 days. I was like, and I usually have, like, decent brackets. Like, I finished first the last few years in, like, a couple groups, but this year I'm just not, like, I didn't know. I already told you I didn't know college basketball, but so I got my Alabama, my San Diego State, but I missed Virginia. I missed Creighton. Actually beat NC State. Arizona beat, Princeton beat Arizona, which was a crazy upset. Purdue lost. I had them going pretty far, or I had them going to the second round. I had Memphis going to the Elite Eight. I had Michigan State going to the final, or yeah, my final four. They're out, and I also had Kansas winning, and they're out. So my top two in the final four I left are Alabama and Houston, and I love Alabama, but we'll see what Houston does. Yeah, but it is what it is. What it is. Interesting so far. I want to start off. So today I'm just going to be talking about a little bit of World Baseball Classic, a little bit of, because that was just unbelievable. A little MLB talk, because I've just heard some crazy statistics recently. I'm going to, of course, give you guys sources for. But these things just blew my mind. And, oh, man, we just have to get into it. Let me just get completely set up. Never mind. I don't have to get completely set up. We can do this as we go. So, yesterday, K-State's point guard, what is his name? He waves off his coach and then throws an alley-oop to the back. Just beautiful. If you guys haven't been checking out the NCAA, please make sure to check it out. The NCAA tournament, which I'm sure you are. NBA basketball. So Ja Morant has just been allowed back into basketball activities. Had a great poster dunk yesterday coming back in. But he had some comments before he came back. And I wanted to play these for you guys really quick.
To learn how to, you know, manage stress, cope with stress in, you know, a positive way, instead of, you know, ways I've, you know, tried to deal with it before that, you know, caused me to make, you know, mistakes. So.
I'm going to play it one more time for y'all. One more time.
I don't have an alcohol problem. Never had an alcohol problem. You know, I went there for counseling. To learn how to, you know, manage stress, cope with stress in, you know, a positive way, instead of, you know, ways I've, you know, tried to deal with it before that, you know, caused me to make, you know, mistakes. So
y'all, this is straight from the horse's mouth. Ja Morant does not have an alcohol problem. He went there for counseling, as you heard him. He went there for counseling. I loved this. I think I touched on this last week, but I love this 8-game suspension. I think that that was the perfect amount of time. It wasn't too much. It wasn't too little. It wasn't too harsh of a punishment. We're living in a different time than when Gilbert Arenas had a weapon on property. I think that they handled it extremely great. I don't think he really went to rehab. That's just my conspiracy, whatever opinion. You don't have to comment on it, but I think they just had him step away for a while. You know what I'm saying? They're you can't be doing that. And he's yeah, I get that too. But I really like the 8 games. It allows him to come back to his team and for them to still have a fighting chance, which I enjoy from Adam Silver. So I don't mind this. I don't mind this one bit. I think that this works. I'm glad he's back with his squad, and hopefully the Grizzlies can get it together. He can get Dillon Brooks under control. Last week I touched on this. Patrick Beverley, now the one of the most recent Chicago Bulls, right? Let me turn the levels up. One of the most recent Chicago Bulls. I discussed last week on just how I felt about his podcast and the language that he uses and just the way that he speaks. And he started this podcast at the beginning of this year when he went to L.A. And I was saying for a really long time, oh, yeah, he doesn't want, he's got Bron to protect him. You know what I'm saying? And you can go back to his social media accounts. He'll, troll Bron in the locker room, videoing him, the day he was going to break the scoring record. Patrick Beverley's, in his face with the camera. He's just a guy who's around a lot of antics. He tries to be funny a lot. I have nothing against Patrick Beverley. I love the way he plays. But I think, his need to be, listened to and heard by somebody and funny and reacted to is could be detrimental to maybe some money that he would earn. You know what I'm saying? If he was a player that was more quiet. I'm not saying that's just my opinion. Patrick Beverley, this is a quote from him. He says, yes, this is in regards to his time with the Lakers. Yes, we should do this on defense. Nah, we cool. We cool. Nah, we got to rotate. Bron, what you mean we got to rotate? You ain't even playing. They don't listen to me. You got to go through the first year coach, the LeBron, the AD, the Russ. Then it get to me. You don't hear my stuff, by the way. You don't hear my stuff the way you should hear my stuff. Patrick Beverley wanted, I guess, more of a voice on the Lakers. But when you have a squad with those many people who are that experienced, and Patrick Beverley has been at most a role player in his career, I feel like that's not even really his place to say that. But I feel like he just wanted that because he isn't a veteran in the league, and so he definitely wants that respect. I don't know. Roan did a jersey swap with Pat Bev's mom the other day, which was pretty interesting with Philly came to town. Roan is his podcast host. I would pull up this clip, but it had a lot of cursing in it. They were talking about that everybody else is trying to start a podcast now and copy Pat Bev, but I think they're trying to do it better than Pat Bev because they realize, once one person does it, you know how you want to do it. You know what I'm saying? I like to, when I'm getting ready to start a new project, I go look at people who did it successfully and not successfully so I can know what to do and what not to do. You know what I'm saying? I feel like a lot of people do that. You go look at things that inspire you regarding that, and then you, take what you want from. But Pat Bev just goes at this head on. But he was talking about, yeah, they're copying me with a white host. Roan is a white host. And just weird stuff. I don't know. Pat Bev is going to be Pat Bev, I guess. I'm going to discuss a little football later on today as well. This is something else. This is another thing I wanted to bring up. So LeBron James tweeted 23 hours ago. Regarding his status, his injury status. LeBron, he tweeted about it, and I like the way that he tweeted about it, and this is why I'm bringing it up, because this is something that we're just going to see increasingly, and I couldn't find this video. This reporter, it was actually a Memphis Grizzlies reporter, he asked Jermichael Green, they were in the studio, and they said, sir, the reporter, can you... Do you know if Jermichael Green is starting? And the reporter turns around and he says, yo, Jermichael, you playing tonight? He's like, Jermichael says, no. And the reporter says, well, you heard it from him. You heard it from him. He's not playing. That's direct contact. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to go through a reporter to the press release, waiting for a piece of paper to get printed out that says he's not playing. You got it from him. So Bron tweeted yesterday, there wasn't an evaluation today, and there hasn't been any target date for my return. I'm just working around the clock to give myself the best chance of coming back full strength whenever that is. God bless y'all sources. I speak for myself with a facepalm emoji. And we've seen Kyrie use, we've seen Kyrie use social media to voice his own opinion. You know, we haven't really seen updates on injuries a lot, but I think this is going to be something that we see way more often these days, is just athletes giving their own status on their own stuff. Like Lamar Jackson has given his own status about his own interests about Ravens or whatever, you know. That's a whole nother situation, but I think that with all these athletes verified and social media, some of these athletes having more followers than Woj and Shams and ESPN and all these new Bleacher Report, all these news sports news sites, you might just start hearing directly from them. You know what I'm saying? Legion Hoops, all the, you know what I'm saying? So, I just blew my mind when I saw it. I was like, yeah. I'm surprised I just haven't seen it sooner. And I did not expect to see it from LeBron first. Maybe somebody like a Jaren Jackson Jr., somebody who's still really great, but like younger. But no, he was, you know what I'm saying? I want to transition back to, oh no, actually, let me stay on this really quick. I've been hearing a lot of talk about, is Zion a bust or not yet? And I think it's some crazy statistic. Like, he's played in 28, like, on average, since he's been out for so long. Like, if you take all the games he's been, all the time he's been in the league, and then how many games he's played, and you divide that by 3 years, it's like per year, he only plays 28 games. Like, if you're going to break it down into per year. And so the question that I saw was, is this considered a bust? Like, is Zion considered a bust? And I think I really didn't know how to answer this question, because when I think of a bust, I think of somebody who doesn't produce, somebody who, like, has been given the opportunity and cannot get the job done, right? That would have been considering, like, Joel Embiid a bust. You know, I mean, Joel Embiid I don't think he re-injured himself over and over when he first came in the league. I thought he came into the league injured and he wasn't going to be good for another year or something. Like, he wasn't going to be healthy for another year or so. But I think that this is a different situation. Zion came into the league, proved that he was, like, great. And every time he does play, he dominates the game. Like seriously, and the Pelicans with him and Brandon Ingram healthy, I think that they have, like, they were a really strong seed in the West for a really long time this year. And then he got hurt, and they said he's going to be out for the rest of the season. I just wanted to pose that question and think through it, because I wouldn't personally consider Zion a bust, because I think he's still on a not as much money as he could make, but I think he still has a lot to prove, but he's also shown so many flashes of greatness that it's just about time on the floor, you know? I don't know. Like, maybe he should have went to, like, another company that sells ankle braces instead of Jordan for the sponsorship. Or a hamstring. Like, he should get a hamstring insurance. He should get his hamstring insured or something like that. But, because I just think I don't understand how you can consider Zion a bust if he hasn't been given the opportunity, you know. And while I love to criticize and to hate, I love Zion, so I don't even know if I could ever turn on bro, not gonna lie. Okay, and then I want to transition back, so finish some NBA talk. Unless I remember something later, because y'all know I never have my thoughts in order. The NIL cash that some of these kids are making is different money, you guys. I think it really revolutionized college sports and college hoops, now students have the ability to make a considerable amount of money on just going to school. And I think that a lot of these players wouldn't necessarily be going to the NBA because, as we know, not every college basketball star goes to the NBA, right? I think it's still a way for them to provide for their families, you know what I'm saying, and have a little bit of a nest egg. And so I'm saying this to say that University of North Carolina, where Armando Bacot attends with RJ Davis, Caleb Love, all them over there. Armando Bacot has decided to stay for his fifth year and keep his eligibility because of that COVID year. They gave a lot of the students like another year of eligibility, right? And so he's taking advantage of that. And I think it's a great idea for him right now. Like he's an actor in Outer Banks. He's got partnerships from a bunch of these sponsors and then NIL money on top of that. And he's only becoming better. He averaged a double-double this year with 14 or 15 points and over 10 rebounds. And I think like a block and a half or a block .7, something like that, something crazy like that per game. So he's only projected right now late second round undrafted. Like, so honestly, and this is crazy because I think Armando Bacot's a great player. He just plays kind of scared. Like if he played with a lot of confidence, he could be dominant. Like he's good. He's got the talent. I think he just like he's got so much talent around him too that he doesn't want to be a ball hog. Like I'm sure North Carolina preaches like to spread the ball. You know what I'm saying? So when you got RJ Davis, Caleb, like all these other guys in your squad, it's like you can't even shine the way that you could shine it in the ISO type basketball in the NBA. You know what I'm saying? Because y'all understand how NBA is different than college basketball. College basketball using more of the floor. NBA is more isolation play and more one-on-one going at it, you know. So I think that Armando Bacot's game may or may not translate, but I think he can only get better in this next year. So I think it's a great move for him. Again, he's going to make his bread, right? That he, like, technically, since they're projecting him second round, like, whatever. And then usually those people go to the G League, right, after summer camp, right? Like, the average salary in the G League is 40 bands. So, like, he's going to go make NIL probably another $500K this coming year alone. Get his master's degree from North UNC in whatever he's studying. And then, go like, imagine going to the NBA with a master's degree like that. I think that's the future of sports, man, and it makes me so happy to, like, say that because right now, like, I've discussed this on this show a lot that these athletes and these people, like, they can tweet something or they can say their opinion on something. That does not make it facts. Kyrie went to 1 year of school, faked his injury, like, and then came to the, like, these people aren't doctors or, like, professors. Like, these people barely even went to college. Like, LeBron, first of all, be lying all the time. Second of all, he went to the NBA out of high school. Like, just think. Like, I'm just saying. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying these people are necessarily dumb, but it's like you have to take what they say with a grain of salt. But imagine a future of athletes who are also educated. It's not you pick one. You know what I'm saying? Like, imagine with the NIL making this. What if it's more common to see people go to the NBA at 24? What if that starts becoming the trend? You know what I'm saying? Like, anything is possible, but I think that it could be great for the league. It would make the league a lot more mature as well. We wouldn't see a lot more people in the club with guns, you know what I'm saying? And all the pictures that we saw of John Morant, this is a Catholic institution, I'm not going to go into the pictures that we saw of John Morant in the nightclub, but we all saw them, you know what I'm saying? I think that this could curb some of that, maybe, potentially. And then we'd be smarter just as a people, you know what I'm saying? And the NBA might not have, like, a cloud over it all the time because it's like, oh, these people actually might be speaking facts when they're educated with a degree, a four-year degree, or even a master's degree at that level. You know what I'm saying? And I think next year Armando Bacot is, like, that draft class is not that great. I think he's going to shine in that draft class. You know what I'm saying? He's going to be older, more mature, like better player, all that. I think it's a great move on his part. I'm gonna take a break real fast, and then I'm gonna hop into a little bit of World Baseball Classic. All right, be right back. Don't cry for me. Yeah, don't cry for me. I'm just start hopping in here rapping. Not gonna lie. Y'all want a concert? I know y'all want a concert. I hope that music's not too loud. I'm trying to figure it out because last week my levels were so off and I don't even edit my stuff before I put it up. But I'm gonna start editing. I promise. I'm gonna start editing. This next 10 weeks, y'all, I'm about to just be pumping out content. You hear me? I'm about to just be pumping out content straight up. I might do 2 episodes a week. You know what I'm saying? Man, I'm in this studio right now at school. It is spring break. There's barely anybody in here. There's no students in here. I bet you I'm the only person who did a show this week. I'm not trying to hate on nobody. I'm just saying we in here working. Nah. Yo, the World Baseball Classic just ended, and that was crazy. That ending, you couldn't have drawn it up. Man, you couldn't write, and one of my favorite sayings is you could not write this up in a book. You couldn't, this is straight out of film. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's unreal, some of this stuff that we're getting to witness right now. It is 2023, y'all. What a time to be alive. What a time to be alive. Like, seriously, sit back and think about all the things that exist right now that didn't exist even 20 years ago, even 30 years ago, even 40 years ago. And just imagine the access to technology and information that you have. Use it to your advantage. Don't miss out on this beautiful world that we have. God bless. I'm so serious too. The amount of information and programs and knowledge that we have access to in this day and age and in this country that you guys are blessed enough to have access to, do not take that for granted. Like, use all your resources, please, so that we can get this earth back on track. You know what I'm saying? Back on track mindset-wise when we get older and in charge. Back on track every kind of way. You know what I'm saying? All right. Shohei Ohtani is doing everything. World Baseball Classic just ended, and I think the world wanted to see this matchup. Their teammates from April to September, but this past week, they were opponents. And it was just one of the, like, this is a generational thing to watch. You know what I'm saying? Like, these pictures and these video are going to be shown for years to come. Team Japan versus USA final. World Baseball Classic final. The last out needed of the game, Shohei Ohtani faces his teammate, Mike Trout. And I'm going to get into some more MLB in a second, but this is the at-bat that I think every single baseball fan just wanted to see. Ohtani is my favorite player in the league right now. just insane to watch somebody that we've never seen this before. You didn't watch Babe Ruth growing up. Your parents didn't watch Babe Ruth growing up. You know what I'm like? They watched Willie Mays and like all these, but Willie Stargell and, but nah, they didn't. And they watched Roberto Clemente, but nah, they didn't watch Shohei Ohtani pitching and hitting dingers every day. Like, I don't know, man. It's like the Michael Jackson of baseball. He literally has like women in the crowd, like swooning, bro. Like, I'm not kidding. Watch an Angels game, like. And Ohtani struck out Trout after Trout said that he had him figured out. They said that 94% of, or 97. I think it was either 94.7 or 97.4% of Japanese televisions were turned to the World Baseball Classic final. Whether that number is correct or not, I think it was, if it was any more than 60% of the televisions in the country, that's insanity. For baseball too, it makes my heart so happy. I think Japan might be like number one with baseball, like that's their number one sport. It may be, maybe I'm wrong. I'm Googling Japanese sports ranking. Okay, number one is baseball. 45.2% of people, it's their favorite sport. Second is sumo wrestling. Okay, exact. I was right. Japanese people love baseball, dog. Like, and they appreciate their players. I told you guys last week about when Ohtani hit that home run in Japan and they just passed the ball around. Like, it's just a different lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? Like, a different appreciation for the game. And to see Shohei just that fired up after that game was crazy. I want to see if I can find this Shohei clip where he is hyping up his team before the game about just they need to. He said that they need to, since in Japan, obviously they look up to Major League Baseball, but there's a point at which you need to excel, and you don't excel if you continue to look at like your opponent as this thing that's so above you, you know? You need to view them as equals. You need like view them as that's attainable before you're able to conquer that. If that makes sense. Like you can't look at something that is quote unquote higher up than you and you have to view it on you're on the same plane as it to be able to achieve it. I'm looking for this clip of Shohei trying to hype up his, I'm going to search Shohei speech. Here we go.
Wow. ま、憧れるの最後。
And that was his team erupting in the background with in the clubhouse. But all right, obviously that was Japanese. Let me tell you guys what he said. So he said, "Let's stop admiring them. If you admire them, you can't surpass them. We came here to surpass them, to reach the top. For one day, let's throw away our admiration for them and just think about winning." This is insane. I think for somebody who plays in the league and who is able, like, who has that much mental awareness to kind of understand what the thought processes of his teammates were and not to be disrespectful to them at all. But he said that he admires United States baseball as well. You know what I'm saying? He says, in Japan, I'm sure a lot of these people are trying to get to the majors too. There's been a lot of Japanese stars, but I'm sure a lot of them are still left there trying to come to the United States to play. The money's better. So I'm going to read that again. Let's stop admiring them. If you admire them, you can't surpass them. We came here to surpass them, to reach the top. For one day, let's throw away our admiration for them and just think about winning. I mean, those are words of a leader. You know what I'm saying? Somebody who knows how to lead a squad, lead a national team, and he's able to code switch from. And we talk about code switching in the United States a lot, but able to code switch from country to country. You know, that's a talent that not a lot of people have. So that was beautiful to see from him, for his team especially, and for him to get that last out was insane as well against Trout. Moving on, I saw this tweet. This is one of the craziest takes because we're going to run that segment today because that was actually this was one of the craziest things I saw this week. They ranked, so they're coming out with top 100 rankings, and I'm gonna read you guys the top 10 right now from 10 to 1, starting from the bottom. Nolan Arenado, Mookie Betts, Trey Turner, Julio Rodriguez on the Mariners, Juan Soto, Freddie Freeman, Manny Machado, Aaron Judge, Mike Trout, and Shohei. Shohei being one, Mike Trout being two, three being Aaron Judge. I don't know. I don't know. Is Trout number two in Major League Baseball? To me, like, I just don't know, man. I just don't know. And then where's Yordan Alvarez? Like, Manny Machado. Like, I get it, but, like, and then Tatis, like, yeah, somebody commented Yordan. Like, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know about these rankings and where they're getting this information, but apparently they got all the statistics. So, all right. Next in MLB, they also ranked these teams' net worths, right? And what their valuation was last year, their year-to-date change. I want to preface this by saying that the Golden State Warriors are now the most expensive, wealthy team in the NBA right now, and they are worth $90 billion, almost $100 billion. And this amount probably grows every day. But, they're the highest valuation team in the NBA. Get off the championship year as well, but just insane. I'm going to go to, this is baseball now. Last year, the New York Yankees had an income of $16 million. The Dodgers had an operating income of $14 million, and their value increased by $725 million. Last year, the A's had an income of $62 million, and their team valuation did not increase. For more reference, the Chicago Cubs are now worth $4.1 billion, up 8%, and they are the fourth most valuable team. The Yankees are at $7.1 billion valuation, and they're the first. Operating income of the Cubs is $57 million, which is actually really nice considering all the signings they just had. And the Chicago White Sox are worth $2.05 billion, and they're the 15th most valuable team. And the statistic that I saw from Daniel Greenberg, and this is via Forbes, their operating income is in the negatives right now, $53 million. And I think this has to do with after they signed, I forget his name now, he came for the Padres. They found out that he was in a couple lawsuits and they're unable to play him right now. So it might be because like they have contracts that are idle or maybe they're just in debt right now. You never know. They're going through a lot down there. So these are the top five valuations per Forbes. Yankees 7.1, Dodgers 4.8. These are billion. Red Sox 4.5, Cubs 4.1, Giants 3.7, which is insane. Giants are still in the top five after not winning a championship, I think, now in 10 years. Right? No. Because they won 2015. I don't remember, Doc. Top five profits last year. This surprised the heck out of me. Mariners number one at $83.8 million. Giants $74.9 million. Red Sox $71.6 million. Orioles $64.7 million. Oakland Athletics $62.2 million. And it just makes me think, my guy, you just made $62 million. You don't want to build your own stadium? Why are you asking the A's people to... I'm getting into that next week, actually. Noted. I'm talking about the A's. stadium conversations. Yeah, let me put that in my notes right now. Sorry, guys. Because that's ridiculous. Top five losses. This surprised me as well. Mets lost $138.5 million last year. The Padres lost $55.2 million. White Sox lost $53.4 million. Blue Jays lost $33.7 million. And the Twins lost $30 million. Those all make sense. It's tough. The Padres, yeah, Fernando Tatis, I'm sure was a lot of that. And then Samo. And they signed Juan Soto in the middle of the season. Probably took on some of his debt. So from the Nationals, probably split it in half. So I see where that happens. White Sox, yeah, we just went over their debt. Blue Jays, kind of surprising. And Twins, yeah. Carlo, yeah, not even going to get into the Twins. I want to play this ad. This was the best ad I saw this week. You guys know I'm a Pratt major, public relations and advertising, and I stray more towards the advertising side. I love creative. I love strategy. I love thinking of how we're going to solve this issue with creative input, you know? I want to play this commercial. It's a Mets commercial with Buck and Vogelback. They're big first baseman and DH, I think. I love, like, you guys know I'm a Mets fan, but this is a great commercial. You guys got to see. It's about stealing bases. Pitcher's not looking.
These new bases are wider than the old ones.
Is he focused on the size of the new bases?
Now it will be easier to steal second base.
Is he thinking about stealing second base?
7 years in the league.
And he's never stolen a single base. Don't steal second base.
The pitcher's not looking.
I am not looking.
That was absolutely the best commercial I saw this week. Daniel Vogelback is huge. Just go look up Daniel Vogelback on the Mets. He's had no stolen bases in his career. And it was like a rule change MLB commercial. So, like, they implement a lot of new rules with the pitch timer and the step-out timer and bigger bases and limiting the shift. And there's been a lot of pushback on some of these rules this year before the season has started from the fans of the MLB saying, like, because some of their teams are losing in spring training just from not remembering the rules and things like that, asking for time and just random things like that. So this was hilarious to see one of the lesser protested rules, the updated base sizes being bigger to try to prevent some of those leg injuries and sliding into each other. Was great to see this commercial, especially from the Mets, given that. I hope that wasn't a loud boom. I just remembered something I forgot to talk about. Because I literally brought it up last week, and, well, like, nobody's in here. I'm going to be by myself, but I told y'all so. This was literally going to happen, and it happened to my Mets, and I'm so angry. I'm so sorry, y'all. I just, like, split up. See, this is why I'm doing this radio, man, because I really don't know how to stay organized, man. I was saying last week that somebody's going to get hurt in this World Baseball Classic. And it was literally my Mets closer. Like, I'm so sad. Edwin Diaz literally jumping up and down on the celebration after he won against another squad. And he gets hurt. He, like, breaks his, like, tears something. I don't know. He's out for the year. What, like, what is going on? Like, Kendrys Morales. Go look up Angels Kendrys Morales walk-off home run injury. Kendrys, K-E-N-D-R-Y-S. Kendrys Morales injury home run. He broke his leg or something, literally jumping on home plate after he hit a home run. It's just, like, these things are inevitable. I'm just so sad it happened to my Mets. But I told y'all, why are these players doing this before their season? There's got to be a better way to do this. World Baseball Classic and things like, I just don't understand. Whatever, though. Whatever, I guess. World Baseball Classic doesn't pay you, my guy. I'm going to take a break. I'm coming back.
Papa, why can't we telegraph while riding a horse?
Son, there ain't no one to blame but Jeffro. He was riding old Betsy the Stallion, tip-tapping away at his telegraph, when blam! Ran right into the side of the saloon.
Well, if Jeffro can't do it, neither should you. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Here's a fun fact for you. The average chameleon can point their eyes in two different directions. On the other hand, the average human can't. So unless you're a chameleon, there's absolutely no way you can focus on texting and driving at the same time. So don't do it, unless you're a chameleon.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
I came a long way. 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 Yeah, I came a long way. Yeah, I came a long way.
Yeah,
I came a long way.
Yeah, I came a long way. Ace Man. Yo, when's a Ken Carson concert? I don't usually talk about football because I don't like it, but this is kind of crazy. I just saw this tweet this week, and it was interesting. Hold on one second, y'all. I'm closing out. This was kind of wild. I've been talking for 45 minutes. Decent little show today. I saw a tweet that ranked negative. So this quarter, I did a lot of work with data analysis. I learned some new programs, Tableau, BrandWatch, Google Trends. I knew Google Analytics. Google Trends is a little different, where you can think about sentiment of brands and sentiment of search terms and just see how the public is reacting to certain companies, and you can like view this data online. But this is something that I found insane. I just saw it tweeted. It is research regarding each NFL team's fan bases, social media negativity. So it's basically like what percentage of like content tweeted about this team is negative versus positive, you know, and they use different keywords to try to they use different keywords to try to trigger like whatever they think is which, like negative or positive. So they studied Facebook, Twitter, and Reddit. And so first on this list for negative Facebook posts were the Carolina Panthers. And Bengals were tied. I was super surprised by this. Panthers, they're pretty bad, but the Bengals are pretty good, so that kind of blew my mind. I thought it might have been, like, the Commanders, the Chiefs, just because they're a really big name, or the Cowboys. Like, everybody either loves or hates the Cowboys, you know? So I thought it was going to be that for Facebook. But I guess people don't even really post that much on Facebook about this, about football teams, because all these numbers were low. So negative Twitter posts. The highest on this list was the Minnesota Vikings. I was extremely surprised by this. They did really well this year, so I was kind of surprised that their fan bases were 37.2% negative on Twitter. The Bengals being second at 20%, I was really surprised by this. But also, these numbers are pretty low. Like, I was just surprised that those are the highest ones on the list. Lowest being Jacksonville Jaguars with 6.2% on Twitter. And then Reddit, the highest was 20% of the Pittsburgh Steelers negative Reddit post. So this stat was just pretty crazy. I'm sorry. Cleveland Brown Reddit 20.8% negative. So the highest level of average negativity was the Minnesota Vikings. Second was the Cincinnati Bengals. Third was the Ravens. Fourth was the Lions. I was really surprised by this because I thought all of these fan bases were pretty loyal, but I guess the data speaks for itself. Yeah, that's all I got on football. I want to start, like, I think that there's going to be, like, I'm trying to start a few companies, but one I want to start right now is for sports content. It allows you to see, like, just different, like, all the metrics on one site. You know how ESPN gives you some metrics and then you go on another site and it gives you more metrics? Like, all these metrics on the same site to help you bet, almost. Like, matchups, where teams are hot in the paint. Like, so you can see, like, you know what I'm saying? Like an AI has these teams go together and, like, predicts the scenarios. And I think that we can incorporate some of this data into. There's just so much data that is accessible and able to be used. But last week I was telling y'all to please be safe. I played the TCU football coach pep talk or whatever, or spring break PSA. I just played the texting and driving PSA. Please stop texting and driving, y'all. I don't think I've ever told y'all this, but I crashed my car a couple years ago. Just please stop texting and driving. Please stop texting and driving. And please be safe, y'all. Watch what you're doing. Make sure you're attentive to everything that is in front of you that you have. Stay safe, y'all. Thank y'all for tuning in again. Regularly scheduled program, and I'll be here next Friday, inshallah. Happy Ramadan. Ramadan Mubarak. No bad. It is Ramadan. I'm not Muslim, but I got friends who's Muslim, and they celebrating or practicing Ramadan right now. So God willing, they'll get through Ramadan and have some amazing discoveries within themselves. So right now are holy days. Every day is a holy day, but right now it's holy days. So travel righteous, travel just, travel smart, travel safe, and keep your head on a swivel. Look both ways before crossing the street twice. Yeah, that's it, y'all. Peace. You ever wonder what it all really means? You wonder if you ever find your dream.